Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Debate rages on today. Trying to talk about the NBA Finals.
A lot of debates.
Man, it looked nice out there today.
Yes, it's beautiful out here today, man. Beautiful out here today.
Looks like clear skies. The Brooklyn Bridge there. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Trying to talk about the NBA Finals today. It'll be raining tomorrow,
but, you know.
What are you doing, Jay?
I'm just touching my nose.
Why are you touching your nose?
Because we were telling a lot of big nose jokes before during the break.
I remember when I used to do interviews on HBO Boxing, sometimes I would see a replay. And the fighter would be there, and the microphone would be in his face, and all of a sudden, just this nose would float into the screen. Not me, just the nose would float into the screen, because, you know, the key, they're just trying to keep the camera on the fighter. But somehow my nose would wind up in the screen. Not me,
just your
the
nose.
Mic and a nose.
Just your nose.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, that's it. That's how it goes. Mm. I mentioned that we are presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The debate's been raging today about who's more talented between Michael Jackson and Chris Brown. By the way, and I don't want to throw this out there, but I'm going to. Most talented person in the world right now, Jamie Foxx. See, no one's even brought him up.
Okay.
We could turn it into a whole new thing.
I'm not mad at that. I mean, what can that brother do?
At an elite level, it's ridiculous. His stand-up is great. His acting career is great.
Singing is great.
Yeah, this dude does everything. Know who else does everything?
Jason Tatum.
We've been talking a lot about the series, about the finals from the point of view of the Warriors. But man, guys, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Here's Tatum on his relationship with Jaylen Brown. These are two best players on a team that might be close to winning a title right now.
Because we want to win by any means. I think two young guys that are, you know, ultra competitive, passionate about what we do, and just want to win by any means necessary, and everybody in that locker room knows it. And, you know, we're not perfect. We're 24, he's 25. Mm-hmm. You know, I know everybody expects everything to happen just like that, but it took time. It takes time, but, you know, two of the hardest working guys, and, you know, we got the trust of our teammates to lead this group, and that's what we've been trying to do.
So, Key, out of all the young duos in the league, right, like Jason Tatum just said it, 24-25, man. Like, there's nobody I'd rather buy more stock in than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I said this yesterday. I truly do believe that Jaylen Brown is the attitude for this team. And Jason Tatum, I give him a lot of credit because, you know, when they were first together, when a lot of people were trying to break them up, it was about who's the alpha. Like, somebody, like, you can't have two alphas on the team. And I think Jason Tatum has taken this road in which he lets Jaylen Brown do his thing and he rises to the occasion in moments, right? It doesn't need to be, I need to be the alpha all the time.
He, meaning Tatum, rises to the occasion in moments.
That's what I just said.
Right, but I wasn't sure who the he referred to between Tatum and Brown.
I just said that Brown, but I'm confused now.
Don't confuse it, Max. Don't confuse Jay, because you know how that goes.
Yeah, and I'll never find my way back.
Plus 2 = 24. So,
man,
don't
confuse. You know what I was saying yesterday?
Jay, don't confuse.
I said 8 + 8 + 2 leaves you another 6 hours in the day,
that's
24.
How many hours do you think there are in it? How many hours do you think there are in a day?
This is what he does.
You know, 8 + 8 + 2 = 18.
Yes, that is what you said. But I agree with you in terms of the two. I was thinking when you said the two most talented guys, duo right now in the NBA, it's them by a landslide, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Keith, talking about stock you want more in the future, right? Because they're 24 and 25. Because I'm not saying they're the best duo in the league.
No,
I'm
talking about age-wise is what I'm talking about.
Who you want
about.
Going forward.
Yeah, who you want going forward.
Those two, absolutely. I mean, when you look at them, man, it's ridiculous how they could just do the things that they've been able to do, not only this year, but in past years prior to people wanting to break them up. I mean, they've been to, what, 3 Eastern Conference Finals together, now they're in the NBA Final. Look, if they continue on this trajectory, they're going to be something special down the line. We're going to look at two kids that we look up 10 years from now having won multiple championships and being able to have that conversation about who is the best in the world. Is it him or is it him? Sort of kind of like the Shaq-Kobe conversation that was going on for a long time in L.A. when they were together.
You think we're going to be having a conversation? I mean,
You're going to be having.
About Jason Tatum, you're saying eventually.
Yeah, eventually, because if they go on for whatever reason, a lot of people like yourself got them winning the championship right about now based on the way you talk.
Why are you going to talk? You ain't talking for me. I can talk for my damn self. Go ahead and
make
but
your you and Max, then all of a sudden they win game three. Y'all start.
You're a dynasty.
I'm the one over here preaching. It's a series of ebbs and flows, like not to jump to conclusions.
But if they get this one, let's just assume they get it. We just do it for – we'll do it for radio talk.
Jay's insisting we have to pretend they win this
Somebody
one already. Okay,
yeah, so they have win your way, Jay. They win this one. Now all of a sudden they got one. Now you look up, and the rest is just coming because they getting the confidence. Now all of a sudden it becomes an attraction for veteran free agents, trade partners that may want to come there and play with a young cast. I mean, they can be in that Golden State sort of mindset the way we looked at Golden State several years ago.
I don't know about that.
Why not?
I don't know about that. I mean, Golden
Why
State
not?
Made it to the finals 6 out of 8 years.
They did make it to the Eastern Conference final three times, which was a step away from the finals.
They made it to the Eastern Conference three times.
Out of 5 years? Finals. No, I'm trying to think.
I don't know how many years. I don't have the stats.
4 years,
in front
5 years,
of
me. But it's
hear you. I'm just saying the NBA Finals, though. That 6 out of 8 is a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a, man, that's but a they, lot. But they cooking.
And Key, I get they're cooking, but we can talk about. Look, 24 and 25. Giannis is 27.
Well, I didn't say nobody wouldn't be in their way.
I know Chris Middleton is 30. So
I'm telling you right now, Boston doesn't win if Middleton is healthy, but go ahead.
I agree with you on that. I think Milwaukee's a better team.
Let me ask this. If they win this year, which
but
at this moment,
Boston's
up 2-1, so yes. And they have another home game. So right now, so let's say that they're favored to win, and let's just assume for a second, as Key says, that they win. I would say that they're the kind of team in the next 4 or 5 years that could get another one. They could wind up sitting on two chips in 5 years. That's not Golden State level dominance, but it's pretty damn good.
I'm with you.
Yeah, but dominance to me isn't necessarily getting to a championship every single year like a LeBron, like a Golden State. It's being in the mix getting one. Yeah. Being in the mix, then getting one. Being in the mix, then getting
Which,
one.
Which, by the that's way, before MJ, that's what it was. Like, the Celtics and Lakers didn't win three in a row, didn't win it every year. There are plenty of times where they lost the finals. Then MJ came along, then you were expected to win the finals every single year. But actually, throughout, you know, only Bill Russell and MJ was it like that. Otherwise, you win one, you make one, but you don't win. You make the conference finals, you know, you win another one like that. That's most and dominant franchise.
And let's just be look. I give all the credit in the world for Boston, them going through the gauntlet. But like, let's actually break down what the gauntlet was. Right, you're talking about KD, Kyrie, like not playing, like all the stuff that they went through this year. Ben Simmons not being activated. Joe Harris not being in the court. Not taking anything away from Boston. They won the game. They were supposed to win. Right. Talk about Philly, Joel Embiid. Like the facial fracture, right? Like him going through that stuff, not playing a lot. Like there's a lot of things that kind of go. Chris Middleton not being there.
No, that's true.
And I'm not making any excuses. Boston deserves to be there. I'm just saying the Eastern Conference is going to be tough, man.
Everything you're saying is true, Jay. But we also got to look at what Brad Stevens has been able to do, making strategic moves since he's taken over, doing certain things. I'm sure the Boston Celtics are not going to sit pat knowing that there's a KD running around in the conference. There's a Giannis running around in the conference. You look up in the offseason and they bring something to add themselves, something big, while all of a sudden they got a big three now. Yeah. And you just, you know how it goes, man.
Yeah.
They're not going to sit there and be like, Tatum and Brown is all we need, when they know that there's a KD, a Kyrie, and a Simmons. There's a James Harden and an Embiid. And there's a Giannis and a Middleton. There's a Jimmy Butler potentially down there with Donovan Mitchell in Miami. I mean, they're smart enough to know
that.
Donovan Mitchell in Miami, huh?
What other duo 25 or unders even in the conversation? You know what I mean?
We're still waiting to see who Luka's going to be matched up
with. Yeah, right, right.
Ja Morant.
At this moment, Ja and Luka don't have a running mate like that, right? They don't have a dude like Jaylen Brown.
No, they don't.
Or Jason Tatum. I don't even think there's another duo in the conversation right now. I'm trying to think of who it could be. Keyshawn, J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Tom Brady's back in Tampa. I mean, when people say back, he never really left, y'all. 40-day retirement? So if he just doesn't say that out loud, then nothing changed, right? But would he rather have been in a different City in Florida. Was that what that whole thing was really about? We hear from the GOAT.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. There's Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL writer. You can see him on ESPN News right now.
What up, what up, what up?
What's going on, Jeremy?
Gentlemen, good morning.
So, Jeremy, our open to hot news or not news is about Tom Brady to the Dolphins, basically. Well, Brady was asked about it yesterday and said this.
I mean, it's, again, I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, as I've had for the last 3 or 4 years in my career, about, you know, different opportunities when I'm done playing with football. So, you know, I kind of made a decision of what I'd like to do. You know, I'll get to be in the game of football. And I think for me, the most important thing is where I'm at now, you know, what I hope to do for this team. That's been my commitment to, you know, this team and organization. It's been so much fun for me to come here 2 years ago. It's been almost 2.5 years now, and it's been an incredible part of my football journey.
Is that hot news or not news, Jeremy?
Max, this is hot news. This is magma hot news, because he could have said no. I had no interest in playing for the Miami Dolphins, or, you know, I'm only focused on the Tampa Bay Bucks. But he said he had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, which tells me that there was some serious smoke around the Dolphins situation, which, you know, portends to the future a little bit. He's a free agent next year. He didn't do a contract extension with Tampa. This is probably not going away. Maybe there'll be a flirtation next offseason to play for the Dolphins. I think this is an underplayed story league-wide, that the best player of all time almost went down to Miami to potentially be like a part owner slash quarterback. I still think he goes to the Fox booth next year because he's got that contract done, but we'll see.
It is hot news for sure. My colleague Jay Williams kind of broke it in a roundabout way, way long time ago before anybody. He just didn't name names. He gave clues. But let me make another hot statement here. I used to like Tom Brady like yesterday. But then again, today I don't like him now.
What changed? Like, why do you – I don't – you said he's likable.
Because he gave me the whole – he just kind of sound like Tom Brady from New England, where over the last 2.5 years it sound like a brand new Tom Brady. Jeremy, now it's like the same boring Tom Brady from New England. Well, you know, I talk to a lot of guys and people. Like, come on, Tom, give me something.
Jeremy, it's hot news, and it leads this conversation, because yesterday I saw two pieces of breaking news where I'm like, damn, who's going to get it done first? Will LeBron James own an NBA franchise in Vegas before Tom Brady becomes part owner of an NFL franchise, potentially in Miami. Mm. Who wins that race? It's interesting.
Brady,
you know who wins the race?
I'm going to go LeBron because he's got a billion on it already.
You know who wins the race? I'm going to throw one in there. Peyton Manning wins the race.
With the Broncos?
With the Broncos. Hmm.
Well, it's like an advisory role? Is that like part owner slash advisory?
We're going to frame it a certain way so we don't make people mad out in the universe.
Exactly. I like that. I think LeBron's actually going to be an owner of a team, though. Like, not front
like
a group.
Like majority owner.
Yeah, I think LeBron's going to be the first one to do it. Like, officially own the team.
Yeah, he can put something on it. I mean, he's got real money.
B. Billion with a B. Davante Adams confirmed that he left the Packers for less money with the Raiders, Jeremy, because of the uncertainty of Rodgers' career. Hot news or not news?
This is hot news. You know, Keyshawn was talking about Tom Brady maybe not giving us some juicy quotes. Davante Adams came with the heat yesterday and is telling the truth. And to add to that, you know, I was hearing that this has been going on for a while. He pretty much knew that he was leaving Green Bay for a pretty long time, probably sometime last offseason, last summer. You know, when things were getting weird in Green Bay, he's like, hey, I can go somewhere warm, play with my guy Derek Carr. Like, he was dropping hints about Vegas a while ago. So I don't think things were as rosy in Green Bay as they were made out to be. And so this is a guy who's happy. He's got his new deal. He's out west. And the Raiders are coming, you know. So this is hot news to me.
It is certainly hot news because it gives you a little bit of insight on somewhat of the culture and what's going on, like Jeremy said, in Green Bay. Not just with Aaron Rodgers' thought process, but how the Green Bay Packers organization is somewhat structured and run because you offered more money and the guy decided to turn it down. And I'm not talking about they gave me a dollar and they offered me $175 as more money. I mean, the Green Bay Packer offer was a blowaway offer and he decided not to take it.
This is what I love about professional sports because if you get to a point in your career where, look, I want to play with who I want to play with. Right? Like, I want to play with Derek Carr. I feel differently about Derek Carr than I do about Aaron Rodgers, which speaks volumes about the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Actually, I think the biggest story here is it speaks volumes about the Las Vegas Raiders, because there has to be a healthy enough culture. You know, not just, oh, my guy's playing there. For Derek Carr to show you what he can do. For other players to say, I can win there. I can be happy there. Not only is Vegas a great spot and Derek Carr's a real good quarterback and he's my dude, but that can be a winning place. To me, it says the most about the Raiders moving out Key's favorite coach. Things seem to have opened up there, Key.
Look, man, I'm not even going there. Ask Jeremy another question.
Kyle Shanahan says that the relationship with Deebo Samuel has always been good. Hot news or not news?
I'm going to go not news because we know the dynamics of the situation. And as far as I've heard, Deebo Samuel has not officially rescinded his trade request, and there's been no major progress on a new deal. And so what are we talking about here? The 49ers have said 8 or 9 times, like, hey, we love Deebo, and, you know, we believe everything's going to be good. Well, they kind of have to prove that. I don't know that that's a slam dunk based on all that's gone on there with his trade request. So they got some work to do. Not news right now.
Yeah, I'm with you again, Jeremy. It's not news. Yes, all coaches love the players that's on their team. There's no question. What are you supposed to say? Well, I don't like Deebo Samuel. We don't get along. And you mentioned John Gruden. He always would tell me how much he liked me in front of me and then tell somebody else something totally different behind closed doors. So that's what coaches do.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Max. Let's remove the show.
Jeremy,
let's go.
Jeremy, I'm curious. What are you hearing about the way Trey Lance looks at minicamp so far?
Minicamp, good. I mean, it's weird because, you know, there was a lot of speculation about whether Trey Lance was ready and if the team was impressed with, you know, his skill set and his arm strength behind the scenes. I can tell you that arm strength ain't the issue. Skill set ain't the issue. They were happy with what they have, except, you know, really just the learning curve is what they know he has to catch up on, like navigating sort of the chaos of like 11-man football with all that's going on with all he's learned at the NFL level. He's played like 200 and something snaps in the last 2 years. So he hasn't really been ready. But minicamp, they're happy. Like, they cleaned up his throwing motion. Things look a little smoother. So he's on the right track. Mm. Everything's going to be fine. It was sort of a long year learning behind the scenes. Mm.
Yeah, Jay, you, I was with you, as I said the other day. I was with you at Duke. You thought I was Warren Moon throwing a football in T-shirts and shorts. If Aaron Donald was chasing me, Yeah. I wouldn't be Warren Moon. I'd be more like somebody, Jamarcus Russell or something. Jeez.
Most importantly.
No doubt. Changes things in a hurry.
Most importantly, Jeremy Fowler, I need you to listen to this from Ryan Clark on DC and RC does that pod with Cormier. Listen to Ryan Clark on Chris Brown and Michael Jackson.
He is the greatest of all time. We will never see another entertainer take over the world the way that Michael Jackson did. Never see one have the career. I am simply speaking about talent. I'm simply speaking about skills. There is nothing, let me repeat it again, there is nothing that Michael Jackson can do or could do that Chris Brown can't. You want Michael Jackson to sing? Chris Brown can sing. You want Michael Jackson to dance? Chris Brown can dance. You think Chris Brown can't go remake the Thriller video? He can't do that choreography and crush it? Come on. Now, I ask you this though, DC. Here is what I ask you. You ever seen Michael Jackson play basketball? Chris Brown could play basketball. Did you ever see Michael Jackson while he was dancing flip? Be acrobatic? Chris Brown can do that. We ever see Michael Jackson paint? Chris Brown can paint. You ever hear Michael Jackson rap? Yeah, rap was out while Mike was old. Chris Brown can rap. Michael Jackson can't do none of those things. No. DC, Michael Jackson is Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time. You know who I think is more talented than Tom Brady? Aaron Rodgers. And I'm right.
Listening to RC's argument, I understand it better now, and he makes an interesting point. Jeremy, where are you on this?
Yeah, I'm with RC. I really am. I mean, Chris Brown's the cheat code. Put him on hundreds of songs as a feature, makes it better. Best dancer we've probably seen. I mean, he does flips. I mean, some of the performances he used to do back in the day are crazy. Michael Jackson's in his class by itself, but I mean, Chris Brown is. If we're talking talent, I like the Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers analogy. I could get with that.
Thank you, Jeremy, for spitting knowledge on these two.
Key, are you being persuaded at all by these arguments?
Come on, Key.
No, I'm not. Just because he can flip. Woo, Michael Jackson didn't put that routine in his he didn't put that routine in his choreography. So what does that mean? That mean he can't do it? I mean, like, come on, man, stop. Yeah. Y'all falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
Well, what's interesting to me about RC's argument is, to me, people conflate, as I said earlier, talent and skill. Talent's the capacity to do something. Skill is what you refine in order to do it, right? So a lot of times, this guy's more skilled, Kyrie's more, this one's more. Yeah, they're more skilled. That doesn't mean they're greater or more talented. It means that they came along now, right? More advanced. But RC is also making the case, not only for skill with Chris Brown, but also for talent.
Just because Chris Brown could rap doesn't mean Mike couldn't rap. Mike probably just don't want to do that. That's not his thing.
Nah,
man, you don't know that, man.
He was around for the whole thing with rap, and he didn't even try it.
Yeah, because it might not. Look.
Maybe when he said Mama Say, Mama Say, Mama Makusa, he thought he was rapping.
Michael Jackson had a monkey named Bubbles, man. Stop. I mean, like, come on. Yeah, I'm just saying. What does that mean? Because he can't rap. He's been around.
He calls me a slick talker, but listen to that one. Man, Michael Jackson had a monkey named Bubbles. Stop.
Wow, one.
Come on. When have you ever seen that? When have you, other than Michael Jackson, in our young lifetimes, when do we ever see another human being with a pet monkey?
I've seen Mike Tyson with a pet tiger.
Tiger, yeah.
That was after Michael Jackson had the
monkey. Once again, Mike Tyson had the pet tiger, but Michael Jackson blazed the trail. What about this? Here's another one I want to throw. I'm going to throw his name out if you're talking about, because I could hear RC expanding the scope of the conversation. How many different things Chris Brown could do? Jamie Foxx, to me, most talented person in the world. Jamie Foxx, number one. Where are you on Jamie Foxx versus Chris Brown? I need to know real quick, Jeremy.
You're asking me about Jamie Foxx? Yeah. I like Jamie Foxx.
Talent.
I don't know if he's the most talented person in the world.
Max likes throwing a curveball in there, to kind of take the conversation.
I heard where RC was taking
it. I mean, if we're talking actors, I'd go Denzel over him.
Jamie Foxx is as great as an actor as we have. great stand-up, great everything. Yeah. What does
he
do?
Bubbles.
Bubbles.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation.
Yeah. We got to know what kind of pets Jamie Foxx has for the tiebreaker. Yeah,
that's a good point. Hey, Jamie, if you're listening, call in. We'll continue this conversation, plus the end of the Warriors run. That's Jeremy Fowler, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Jeremy. Something tells me, guys, that people want to talk. 888-SAY-ESPN-729-3776. People are going to want to talk about Michael Jackson versus Chris Brown for talent. I didn't fully understand RC's argument. He really is not just arguing skill, but also arguing talent.
So you were arguing before you even knew what RC was talking about?
No, this wouldn't be the first time.
Yes.
Hey, look who we have. The great Monica McNutt with us right now. Hey, Monica.
What up, cuz?
Hi, guys. Hey, Jay. What's up, Key? Hey, Max.
Hey, Auntie. How you doing?
Auntie, look at that.
Come on, bro. You're trying to make me so old. We got to get it together.
It's like one third your age.
There you go.
There you go. That's much better.
Monica, talent. In terms of talent,
yes.
Michael Jackson or Chris Brown?
Ah.
Stump the chef.
What happened was.
Okay. So I'm going to go a little biased here. This is a terrible argument. But I actually really like that Christmas movie that Chris Brown was in. So on the acting side,
Okay.
I might lean Chris Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's okay to say it. It's okay, Monica, to just say, just say Breezy was more talented. That's so he's more.
I can hear my dad disowning me now, but it's fine.
RC makes up these great points about, you know, hey, he could do all the choreographed dances that Michael Jackson has been able to do. You don't see Michael Jackson flipping, doing acrobatic stuff. Yeah, basketball player. I mean,
you didn't see Dr. J do some stuff that Vince Carter could do, but it doesn't mean that anyone's more talented than Dr. J.
Well, Vince Carter's not more talented.
Talent is different than skill. Yeah, go ahead, Key.
Michael Jackson had bubbles. And on top of him having bubbles, he also had a cartoon. Chris Brown
the
had
monkey?
A cartoon.
I don't know
why
if that's
you keep
talent,
bringing the monkey bubbles back into it. What is that?
I don't. This show.
And he
this
had
morning.
A cartoon, Jay.
Yes,
Chris Brown had no cartoon, man.
Mr. T had a cartoon. He's not in this conversation.
Yes. We don't know what Chris Brown will do. He has a little daughter now. He might get into the cartoon space. You know.
Yeah, that's
know.
What I'm saying. Yeah, because he's an artist.
By the way, guys.
Now, Chris Brown really talented. Yeah. No question about it. But MJ. I mean, yeah, come on, man. Y'all tripping.
In his dad, when he did the moonwalk on Motown 25, I'm just telling you, that's the biggest moment in the history of popular culture anywhere in the world.
He's trying to make the case that Vince Carter is not more talented than Dr. J.
Talent. No, Dr. J, if he was around when Vince was around, would have been doing some different kind of stuff.
Monica, get this man.
Will be on the call of Game 4 of the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. Monica, Steph will play in Game 4. What do you expect from Steph after leaving Game 3 with that ankle injury with a couple minutes left in the game?
I expect him to be Steph. I don't think the injury is going to be a huge deal. I mean, he said post-game that he's familiar with it after having a similar thing happen with Marcus Smart in March in Boston. And I just think Steph is an ultra competitor on this stage. I think his ankle would have to be falling off for it to significantly impact his game. Furthermore, though, y'all, even if Steph continues to show up with 40-plus, like, he's got to get some support, particularly on the defensive end where the Golden State Warriors were not who we thought they were in Game 3.
Monica, we talk about Steph being tired multiple games in this series, right? Because obviously he's being targeted defensively, Marcus Smart. It's 50 points in the paint that the Celtics had, and a lot of those were, you know, post-ups from Marcus Smart going against that individual matchup of Stephen Curry. So him moving around so much, I wonder if that affects his shooting ability with his ankles being tight. Like, will we see shots that are short because of how they're going to force him to do so much on the court, and then all of a sudden having that tightness in your ankle, you know how that stuff works. It feels worse day two, day three, more so than day one.
Yeah, I hear you, Jay, but I think for me sitting courtside, the one thing that is constant is Steph's ability to get his shot off and get it off quickly without a bunch of time, right? I think you see, to your point in terms of if that ankle is tight, you see a little bit more on the defensive end as opposed to the offensive end potentially, but I think they're going to go through everything they can in terms of treatment or they have over this last 48 hours. I asked Steve Kerr about the short turnaround time. He's like, nah, it's just like a regular season game. They're not going to make too much of it, and so I'm not really concerned about Steph. Again, for me, it's not Steph. It's everybody else. Mm.
So, Draymond Green, we've been talking a lot heading into Game 3.
15 points, 15 fouls.
Yeah, we were talking heading into Game 3 because his energy, you know, he brought it in Game 2. How are the refs going to respond and this and that? And then he says after Game 3, he didn't play with the force he needed to, right? And I wonder how much of that is because of what a deal his Game 2 was made out of, right? But what do you think about him needing to play with more force, Monica?
So, the entire Warriors organization is using that word. In fact, Steve Kerr said to us, you know, when you play with more force, and I'll throw in energy, paraphrase a bit, on the defensive end, you earn the right for shots to go in. And obviously, mm-hmm. being an offensive juggernaut is not Draymond's calling card, but he is certainly the catalyst of the energy on the defensive end of the floor. And he sets the table offensively. Here's what I'm kind of noticing, y'all. I feel like everybody in the playoffs had these sort of swing games, right? Outside of the Warriors in the, what was it, the 40-point drubbing from the Grizzlies. Other than that, for the most part, we've seen these swings all playoff long.
Yep.
And I don't know if this is their first taste of it because they are up against a much more formidable opponent in terms of what they look to do. But, like, to me, the Celtics did this versus Miami, these sort of up-and-down swings. And so they are already sort of programmed and wired to respond. And I think you're watching the Celtics grow in real time. Now, tonight, I do think Draymond responds, mostly because the response looks like more than four rebounds. I mean, the Warriors were minus 16 on the glass to the Celtics squad. And rebounding, to me, is just purely an energy effort, a hustle stat, right? Like, getting in there. Robert Williams has been terrific. But come on, Warriors, what y'all doing? So I think there are small things that he can do that will look like a bounce-back game. The curious part to me is how much of the talking and the trash-talking is for him versus for agitating the Celtics, because the Celtics seem to be learning if we don't respond, it sort of neutralizes it.
Also, Monica, it's fascinating. Like, you know, who do you trust more in the trenches, right? Like, when you think about who Golden State has had to go through, you know, obviously going through Denver without – Jamal Murray, without Michael Porter Jr. You talk about even going through Memphis, Ja Morant gets hurt down the end. You talk about Dallas, Luka is incredible, but really else, Jalen Brunson, it's not the same degree of athletic ability and personnel that Boston has to throw at you. So that's what I'm starting to wonder. Like, damn, I think I'm starting to trust Boston more in the trenches than I am Golden State to win these games.
Listen, I said Golden State in seven to start this, and that was purely for me off of home court advantage because I thought we were in for a long knockdown, drag it out series. But, Jay, there's something to that. In game three, and granted, Steve Kerr, Warriors are terrific at making adjustments, but there was something sort of happening in game three where it was reminiscent of the Miami series, which was an absolute bloodbath, right? Like big swings, very physical. And so the Celtics to me seem to be very comfortable playing a physical brand of basketball. And after game one, you know, Draymond said it to us. He's like, he wasn't surprised by the Celtics because you see them during the regular season, but their length is something that you cannot replicate unless you have it. And so for them all to be kind of locked in, right in step with Ime Udoka, like they are playing really well at home. Now, we haven't necessarily seen them put two together, but I think for them, every opportunity they have to grow, I mean, you think about it, they lost game one of the first two previous series. They knock out game one in this particular series. Every opportunity that they have to grow, they seem to be relishing it. And so putting two together when you're in a good position is a big-time test for them.
No, even if Boston's more tested in these playoffs, never underestimate, Jay, the heart of a champion. Just listen to Klay Thompson, NBA on ESPN Radio.
Well, you have to realize that time is not on our side anymore. Treat tomorrow as a must win. Even though it's not a closeout game, it's still incredibly important to get one here. That was our goal the whole time, and they just outplayed us game three. I mean, there's no way around it. The best part about the playoffs is how you respond, and never underestimate the heart of a champion, and we have a lot of those.
Monica, like, Klay seems to be very aware that there's more road behind them than ahead of them as a group. Do you think that gives them something? Some urgency here.
Max, I'll tell you what. So we were having dinner with our terrific bosses. Shout out to Amanda Gifford and Peach Chone. Last night, our whole radio team had dinner. And Roz Golan-Wude, our colleague, kind of brought this up. And when he said it to me, I was like, okay, yeah, like, you only have so many more games to get it together. But Roz, who is someone who was very mindful of the gratitude and was with the Warriors in those early runs, was like, I just thought he was talking bigger picture, to your point. And so there is something to be said for this underlying storyline. I think we've seen all playoffs, particularly when it comes to the Celtics group, about the changing of the guard. We've been asked about, is Jason Tatum pulling up a chair with the greats in the league, so on and so forth. I don't know if people fully appreciate all that has gone into the Warriors dynasty being built. And I mean literally from just mileage on their bodies, games played after going so deep for so long, right? Like, I question whether or not they're going to be able to lean completely on championship DNA versus a young and spry sort of Celtics roster. And then, of course, if we were to get into the weeds of contracts and so on and so forth, I mean, yes, there's a reason they have their core three and they've been able to build folks or develop talent, I should say, through the draft. But listen, the West is not getting easier to me. The Celtics not going anywhere, and we stay specifically in the West. I would argue, Jay, to your point, if Steven Adams and Ja have been healthy for that Memphis series, I'm not 100% sure that we're here.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Monica McNutt, ladies and gentlemen. Great to see you as always, Monica.
All right, cuz.
Yeah, cuz. That's
right. Thanks, guys. Cuz. Have a good show.
Cuz. All right. On the coverage, Monica's going to be on the coverage of the NBA Finals, and they are on ESPN Radio. Tune in for Game 4 tonight as the Celtics host the Warriors. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Michael Jackson, as Key says, or Chris Brown, as Jay says.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. If you missed Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this week,
it's Friday.
You missed a lot.
Back in 2009, I'm at the W Hotel in L.A. Mike Tyson grabbed my shoulder and lit.
Everybody has a plan if you get punched in the mouth. You know what I'm saying, Jay? Everybody has a plan.
Keep imitating Mike like that. Watch what happens. Mike, that was Jay, not me.
Please let go of my shoulder, Mike. But LeBron James saying out of the teams that he would like to play for, like, that's
it. I'm not doing it.
You're doing it, Jay.
You're doing it.
No, you're doing it.
No,
you're doing it.
You're doing it.
You're doing it. You said LeBron James.
LeBron James.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. Are you watching Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes, I am.
I don't want to offend anybody, but I don't even know who
Obi-Wan Kenobi is. I got you.
Up until a couple years ago, I thought it was Dark Vader.
Yeah, Dark Vader.
Don't stop digging.
This is off the wall. This is going way back. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This was when his hair was this big.
Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Oh,
this just reminds me of my backyard. Come on over here, Jay.
That's what I'm saying, King. I was just about to say that. Hey, this is late. Like, it's
time
to
rock with you.
Like, late night, everybody's had a lot of drinks. My dad just up there with his hands up. He just two-stepping, going,
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Oh, the debate rages on. No, not about the NBA Finals. Michael Jackson or Chris Brown? RC? Ryan Clark, controversial statement.
I love it.
Chris Brown, more talented than Michael Jackson. Talented! And I thought, well, maybe he means more skilled. Every generation builds on the... No, he meant talent. But he did a very good job explaining why he thought that. Key says, nope, Michael Jackson had a pet monkey named Bubbles. For that, for some reason, that puts him over the top.
He keeps throwing bubbles into the equation.
Jay thinks anything that occurred before the year 2000 didn't really exist. Arnell in Milwaukee, who's right?
Keyshawn is right. He's most definitely right. Jay Williams, first off, I want to take my hat off to you because you're one of the few that give Milwaukee Bucks the credit. But with that being said, you and RC should be absolutely ashamed of yourself.
Why?
Just because this man can shoot a basketball and try rapping and did a flip. Don't mean he's good at it. That don't make some talent more talented than Michael Jackson. Listen, my kids listen to Michael Jackson. They don't know nothing about Michael Jackson. They 2 years old. They don't listen to Chris Brown.
Well, if they're 3 and 2, it's because you put them on.
To Michael Jackson.
Yeah. It's not like they're 8 or 9 and they're playing
That's
it themselves.
Not, they don't have the right opportunity to listen to what they want. You're forcing them to listen to Michael Jackson.
No, I'm not. See, they only on YouTube, and I'm asking what they listen to. It's always Michael Jackson. It's never Chris Brown. And also, I'm with Keyshawn with this as well. Michael Jackson just didn't give it a try. If you're going to bring that up, then you might as well bring up the Pat Monkey Bubbles.
Bubbles, that was funny. Everybody liked that.
Well, you know what else, Jay? When you watch like MJ, like Michael Jackson, popping and breaking was kind of being invented while he was doing it. In fact, the moonwalk is what blew up popping and breaking more than anything else. And hip-hop, honestly, which led to more than anything else. Chris Brown came along. All the popping and stuff is already there.
Jay, don't
there.
Get frustrated, man.
It's already
man.
There, Jay.
You know, I can debate you. Or you and I can talk to you about this. When he starts going technical like that, I can't.
I'm making an argument.
Oh, I'm saying
I'm with Max.
The natural evolution of things over time, Max, people get better at it.
Yes,
they
but
become
that's
more
skill,
skilled.
Not, that's skill.
And talent.
Well, Mike didn't
talent
need to get
talent
better
to
at
do
it.
The hey, skill, okay. Max.
But Jay, MJ was around today. You know.
But
Mike
he's not
didn't
around
need
today.
To get better because Mike had already did
Chris
it.
Chris Brown yeah, is more are, talented.
Michael Jackson was inventing it. Much more on this.
So
plus,
what?
Who's the face of your sports town? Yeah, next,
Avery
ESPN.
Woo! Girl!
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.